Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William McHenry University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
And now.
This is Crusader Talk. Crusader Talk. We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com. Now, here's your host, Ben Milam.
Hey, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Crusader Talk. Great to be back with you on a Monday evening. My name is Ben Milam. You're with my partner, Caleb Hamill. Michael Bergen's our producer, engineer. A World Series recap show on tap for you tonight. William Carey has their season end in Lewiston, Idaho. They go 2-2 in the World Series, finish with an overall record of 49-11. Of course, get the regular season title in the SSAC and set the conference record for win percentage. So only rightfully so. Only appropriate to end the season in Lewiston, Idaho. Obviously, the Crusaders would like to go a little deeper there, but fall short a little bit. But an excellent, excellent season. Absolutely nothing for the Crusaders to hang their heads about. Again, this is Crusader Talk. We're talking all things William Carey Athletics. You can find us on the web, supertalkhattiesburg.com, or in podcast form. Just search Crusader Talk wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Again, great to be back with you as we roll right into our summer programming. Caleb, a lot to talk about tonight, baseball focused again, and a lot of success to talk about. The Crusaders start 2-0 in that World Series. We'll go game by game here, but it was a whole lot of fun in Lewiston, Idaho.
You know, it's easy to come in here with a little bit of a somber mood to be like, oh, well, yeah, they did so well, but they came up short. But at the same time, man, just this whole entire journey for William Carey from, you know, winning the conference outright before you even got to the final weekend, to breaking record after record, we'll walk through some of those as well, to the heroics from different guys in Lewiston, yeah. Idaho. It was just so fun. I enjoyed it here from Hattiesburg. I wish I could have been up there with you in Lewiston.
Oh, me
Ben,
too.
You got to tell me this. For a trip that is not an easy one travel-wise, because you and I talked about that before the show,
yeah.
But it is it's a long way to get out there, but it's a rewarding journey once you get out there.
Yeah.
For guys like you and I, this is kind of giving people at home a little look behind the curtain. For a lot of us, we don't get a chance to really interact with players very often.
Yeah.
Because we're guys that have second jobs. The Carey broadcasting stuff is kind of a hobby that we get paid for and get to do on the side. But for you to go out to Lewiston, Idaho, you had a chance to have a rare experience in seeing guys during batting practice, hanging out on the bus and plane, and all the things in between games in Lewiston. How was your experience?
Well, it would be really difficult to completely wrap it up accurately on a radio broadcast. But, I mean, that first thing you said, just getting to hang out with the players and the coaches off the field and not in a baseball format, that was my favorite part of the trip. And it didn't help that the Crusaders got two wins to start the World Series. Or it didn't hurt, I should say, the Crusaders to get two wins to start that World Series. We traveled on Tuesday, long day of travel, got in. About 4:30, got in bed, I got to the hotel about 4:30 a.m. Hattiesburg time, and it was another long day of travel on, I guess that would have been Friday of last week. And tell you what, you get to know guys pretty well when you're traveling like that, flying across the country and getting to share meals with each other, and it was a blast to get to hang out with some of those guys that both will be back, and guys that are moving on and looking ahead in life, and getting a peek behind the curtain. You know, guys like Patrick Lee. He was in my travel group on Tuesday of, goodness gracious, almost 2 weeks ago.
It was a long trip for y'all.
It feels like forever ago that we left for Lewiston, Idaho. But you had to talk to guys like Patrick, who, you know, is going to have a shot to play at the next level, whether that's independent ball or free agent contract in the minor leagues. And, you know, getting to talk about his experience at William Carey and his perspective playing in a World Series for the first time after 5 years with this program, and guys who will be back like Jake Lissette and other guys like that, Michael Kozlowski, who guys you're just not able to be around and don't talk to in the post game and things like that. It was a blast. And then getting to do baseball things with them, getting to go to practice on our off days. We won, William Carey won on Friday, and he had those 2 days off. So it was a little bit awkward and, you know, had to find a way to get into a high school to get some BP in and get the guys moving and keep the swings fresh and so on and so forth. And it was just, it was a lot of fun to do those types of things with them and get to just, you know, feel like part of the team a little bit. It was a really special experience, and I love the way the guys reacted. And we're going to go game by game here and talk about the results. But after that final loss to end the season, obviously very disappointing. But and there was, you know, some head hanging naturally because those guys came in with all the confidence in the world and they expected to make a run at a national championship, and they did. But the bid fell just a little bit short. But they also, even with the disappointment, they knew how special of a year they had, and there was still that air of confidence and pride that Coach Holford has instilled in this program, and that really, really shined through in Lewiston.
Well, you know, every time you go out to Milton Wheeler Field and look at the outfield, obviously you're going to see a whole bunch of different banners for businesses and advertising, but scattered throughout that, you will notice the 1969 National Championship team banner. The team from the 70s that finished third place, I think it was 1974, that finished third in the NAIA World Series. Yep. And then also the participation of the 2017 team. And you all of a sudden look back and realize our team's going to get to join all of those headings that are out there on the fence.
Yeah.
It's an incredible mark to achieve, and again, they're in the record books at that as well.
Yeah.
There's so much to look back and go, wow, what a run for this 2023 Crusader team.
And it was a ton of fun, and you're exactly right. We're going to need some new signage at Milton Wheeler Field. All right, let's go game by game and take a look at some highlights here. We're going to run through some we're going to play back some audio highlights a little later in the show, but first up was Bellevue University out of Nebraska. This was the 4-5 matchup. William Carey, the 4 seed. Bellevue, the 5 seed. This is a Bellevue team that had been in the World Series 3 out of the last 4 years. Have won a bunch of national championships. Really good ball club. Kind of a always in that top 10 and the top 25 rankings throughout the season. So this was going to be a really tough one. You jump out 4-1, and Bellevue gets a 3-run blast in that eighth inning. Do you have the box score pulled up? Eighth inning, correct, on that 3-run.
Yeah, eighth inning, they got 3 runs.
And then in the bottom half of that inning, you know, we've talked about this with Coach Holford, but even in situations like that, you always feel like the Crusaders are going to win the game because that offense has that clutch gene, and it came through in that bottom of the eighth inning with 2 runs to win 6-4. R.J. Stinson, RBI double in the gap to make it 5-4. That ended up being all you needed. Presser Ratliff came on and sealed it. But that, you're talking about the confidence and you know, kind of the mental fortitude of this team, that really played in the first game there.
It really did. And for William Carey, you had a great outing from Andrew Shira. That really set you up for success. Unfortunately,
oh, yes,
that, you know, eighth inning caused him to not factor into the decision because, yeah, of the tie. But with William Carey, you said it right there. They are known for their ability to find that clutch hitter in the right moment. It seems like very few games this year has William Carey failed to find that. You know, you may look back to the Blue Mountain Christian game to start the SSAC tournament, but in this Bellevue Nebraska game for William Carey,
yeah,
R.J. Stinson got the timely hit after a failed bunt attempt. You know, they tried to let Coffey, who's never had a sacrifice hit all year, and try to bunt him over into scoring position, and you end up leaving it to R.J. Stinson to double him in. And obviously, who else than R.J. Stinson to get the what would be the go-ahead slash winning run for William Carey? And then you get an insurance run,
yeah,
in just a little bit as well. But now, for all of that, William Carey was really good from the mound to start that game, set them up for their offense to really feel comfortable and play loose.
Yep.
That fact right there, the fact that William Carey in those first 2 games, watching and listening to you call the game, you could tell they played with a looseness.
Yeah, yeah.
And that seems to be always the team that plays looser will be the one victorious in these NAIA postseason games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're exactly right. And those off day practices, that was clear. They were still having fun. They knew a national championship was on the line that week, but they were still out there. They were having fun playing ball, and that's a part of what Coach Holford does so well too. Is he allows these guys to be themselves and to still have fun playing the game, even when there's that natural pressure. So that set up a Monday matchup with the number one seeded defending national champions, Southeastern University. They were ranked number one in the preseason polls, ranked number one throughout the entirety of the regular season schedule and leading up to that point in the World Series. Crusaders came out and, well, you get down 1-0 on a wild pitch. A.J. Stinson's your starting pitcher. Uncharacteristically gives up some free passes in that first inning. And you immediately get it back. 2-run bomb from Patrick Lee. And you blow the doors open in the middle innings. 13-4, the final score. Knocking off Southeastern University to start the World Series 2-0. And we are, of course, running up on a break here, but we're going to look at those next two games as well. And we're going to break it down in a little further detail with someone who probably has a little bit better perspective than we do. It is Coach Ben Smith, assistant of these William Carey Crusaders and Bobby Holford's staff. We'll talk to him right after this. This is Crusader Talk. We'll be right back.
Talking everything William Carey University Athletics. This is Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Yes, we are. And again, great to have you with us on this Monday evening. Wherever you are, however you're listening, whether it's live or in podcast form, great to have you with us. My name is Ben Milam. I'm here with my partner, Caleb Hamill, our producer engineer, Michael Mergens on the ones and twos. We've got Ben Smith, assistant coach for William Carey, who was out in Idaho for the second time in his coaching career this past week on the horn. Coach Smith, thanks for spending some time with us.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
Well, Coach, let's step back a little bit and go back to that opening round title game victory over Ave Maria. Of course, 27-4, so there wasn't just a lot of drama to it. But take us through the emotions at the end of that game when it became pretty clear that William Carey would be going back to the World Series, and then that final out when it actually happened.
Well, you know, like you said, it wasn't near as much drama this time as it was the first time we went back in 2017. But it's always exciting, you know, to get to the World Series, and your guys put in a lot of work all year long, and these guys deserve the trip. So, you know, the last three innings, you just kind of, I'm not saying you're kind of wishing the game away, but, you know, we had such a big lead, you're just trying to make it to the end.
Yeah.
But it was exciting. Yeah. You know, it's always exciting to go. So proud of our guys.
Well, and you said there you felt like your guys deserved it. We kind of touched on that in the first segment. This group has won so many ball games. They've won conference tournament titles the last 2 years and three, if you tack on the regular season title this year. It felt like they deserved to make a trip to Idaho and make a run at a national championship. Did you feel that early in the schedule that this group would end up in Lewiston, Idaho?
Well, it's always a goal to get out there. We knew we had a really good nucleus coming back. Like you said, guys that are used to winning, had won two conference tournaments the last 2 years. So you felt good about the experience coming back. Now, then you've got to play the schedule. And these guys did a really good job of putting themselves in a position where you get to host that opening round at your place. And I think that makes a huge difference. I don't know the numbers right off the top of my head, but I think it's something like 70% of the teams that host that go to Lewiston every year. So they did a really good job of giving themselves an opportunity to host that tournament at our place.
Coach, it's a privilege to have you on, and I'm sure your wife is, as the biggest Crusader Talk fan that I've come to know, is excited that you're able to join us tonight. For you and your coaching career, I know you've gotten to see several different teams and have seen several different players come through these ranks. You know, what was it about this team and the batters that it had returning and new faces that you saw as well that just made it so apparent that William Carey had this capability of making the run?
Well, number one, from the day we got on campus back in August, these guys worked very, very hard on the field. They worked hard in the weight room, and the chemistry of this team was really great. And I think that's something when you start to see guys, you have competitions in the fall, guys really getting after each other and competing out there. And so you get an idea that, hey, you know, these guys have got some of the right components that it's going to take to get us out there. So.
And talk about some of those veteran leaders, too, because that was a big part of this run, it felt like. I mean, some of your most productive guys offensively and on the mound are guys that will be back next year. We'll talk about that a little later in the show, what is returning for the Crusaders. But these veterans, I mean, your three seniors, Patrick Lee, Bobby Ledet, A.J. Stinson, all had fantastic years, but then did it again in the World Series. What do those guys do well? What do they continue to do well to give William Carey a chance to make a World Series run?
Well, number one, they're great competitors. Number two, let's start with Bobby and Patrick. They're both very, very good athletes. Patrick Lee, he's a fifth-year guy for us. He understands the program. He's been in the league long enough that he understands what it takes to get there. And then, you know, we're able to bring in Bobby Ledet during the season, and I think that kind of gave us the extra push offensively and defensively to win those games at the end of the year. And then A.J. Stinson, last year he sets a school record for strikeouts in a season, yeah. So you knew coming back that he had that capability to pitch in big games and get you out there as well. So all three of those guys I think if you take one of those three out of the equation, I don't think you get there.
Yeah.
You know, I think every one of those guys were big-time contributors and hosting that regional or that opening round and then getting out to Lewiston.
So, Coach, just to kind of add a personal touch to this, you know, for you going out there to Lewiston as your second time, what new things did you get to experience out there that most folks that don't get to make that trip often should know about the trip?
Well, number one, it's a fantastic area of the country. Great scenery. The people out there are fantastic. You're treated very, very well all week. They put on a great event. I think this time, I don't want to say that we didn't have expectations of winning the tournament the first time you go out there, because we did. But this time you understand a little bit better how it works. So you can kind of alter your schedule accordingly, and you kind of know what you need to do with your guys to keep them ready to play. I think every opportunity to go out there is a new experience, and I was glad for this team to get that chance.
And the steak bites were fantastic.
Steak bites. So I think it was the first 3 days we were there. I kind of pouted because we ate chicken Alfredo, I think the first two meals, and then it was like pizza. And I told Ben Milam while we were there that I didn't care what the team did the next night, that he and I were going to eat steak bites somewhere. So steak bites are fantastic. It's worth the trip.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. Well, Coach, let's talk these first two games. Got a few minutes left here. We mentioned you get the big hit from R.J. Stinson late to retake the lead against Bellevue. I felt like that was a spark moving forward. You take on the number one team in the country in Southeastern, and we're clearly the better ball club. 13-4 was the final score there. Those first two games, what went well for the Crusaders?
First game against Bellevue, we get a great performance on the mound. Andrew Shira, I think he went seven innings. Struck out four or five guys. You know, kept the ball in the park. And that's the big thing in that ballpark is keeping it in the park.
Yes.
It's a small field, and not, it doesn't play like Milton Wheeler where, you know, you really got to get it to get it out of there. You can pop a ball up and it can get out. So Shower did a good job of keeping the ball in the yard. And the same thing at Southeastern Florida. I think AJ set the tone on the mound. Like I said earlier, he's a guy that, you know, can pitch in big games, and you know, big time arm. He goes 9 innings against Southeastern Florida. So those two guys set the tone. And then first game against Bellevue, Rigoberto Hernandez gets two doubles. I think he drove in 4 runs on those 2 swings. And that's the, you know, you got to have some of those timely hits if you're going to win games out there. So Southeastern Florida, Jake Bissett had a career day. He 4 for 4. 2 doubles, a home run, and I don't know if everybody back home knows it, but he tied a World Series record with 5 runs scored.
Now, I want to ask you about this game as we kind of wrap this up. You know, I look back a couple seasons ago when Coach Hallford was trying to pursue his 1,200th career victory.
Right.
And that weekend series where he just needed one win to be able to hit that mark, and we got swept. It was just like the biggest monkey on the back of that team to get him to that 1,200th win. Now, did you ever have that in the back of your head as an assistant coach ahead of 1,300 in Lewiston, Idaho, as to how are we going to get this 1,300th win for Coach Hallford?
Not so much when we got to Lewiston. I thought about it earlier in the year. And we knew, I think coming in, we were 49 games. We had to win 49 games to get there. And, you know, winning 49 games in a season is a tall task. And I never really thought about getting to 1,300 this year. But, you know, you get finished with the opening round and you start thinking, well, if, you know, 2 wins in Lewiston will get him there. But, well, you know, once you start playing, you don't really think about that much. But, it's certainly something that should be celebrated. There's never been another baseball coach in Mississippi to win 1,300 games at a Mississippi college. So it's a huge accomplishment for him and for our program and for our guys.
Well, Coach, you said it there. A whole lot to celebrate in 2023 for William Carey Baseball. Appreciate you spending some time with us. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys.
All right. That is Ben Smith, assistant coach for William Carey Baseball. We will dig down into a little further detail on these games, and we'll look at some of the highlights in the 2023 NAIA World Series for the William Carey Crusaders. All of that and a little bit more coming your way right after this. This is Crusader Talk.
To the student athletes and the fans that cheer them on.
You're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Crusader Talk continues on this Monday evening. Thank you to Ben Smith, assistant coach for the William Carey Crusaders, spending a little time with us. Hopefully he's been able to recover a little bit after a whole lot of travel, a whole lot of baseball this last week. We're talking World Series baseball for William Carey. Their run comes to an end again, 49-11, the overall record. They go 2-2 in the NAIA 2023 World Series. As we take a quick look back at some of the big moments for the Crusaders in that first game, we talked about that situation where Bellevue left the yard to tie it up 4-4 in the top of the eighth inning. It seemed like it was all Bellevue in terms of the energy and momentum in that ball game, but William Carey quickly back the other direction to take control and take the lead once more on an R.J. Stinson double. A couple of flyouts around that. This was hammered into left center field. Gap giving chase is Lacy. It drops for a base hit all the way to the wall. Jones around second.
around third. Coach Hallford going to send him. Cut off by Luther. Throw home on a bounce. Not in time. Chris Jones, first to third. R.J. Stinson coming through to give William Carey the lead once more.
Let's mention Andrew Shira. Fantastic seven-inning outing to really set the table for the Crusaders and give the offense a chance, especially late in that game. Lane Jaro came on in the eighth inning to calm things down for the William Carey pitching staff, and then it was Preston Ratliff on to seal the deal. Patrick Lee, a fantastic play out in center field for the final out of the ballgame.
Idaho. This is laced into center field. Patrick Lee giving chase, diving attempt. Did he make the catch? He did. Oh, my. Patrick Lee to end the ball game. I think he's feeling just fine. William Carey wins it 6-4. What a way to end the ball game. Patrick Lee.
A little bit of context there. I had some people ask me when they heard that call. Caleb, you tweeted it out. And they asked me why I said Patrick Lee's feeling just fine there. Patrick Lee, we mentioned it, traveled with him on Tuesday and had a stomach bug. Leading up to that game, was not able to practice Wednesday or Thursday. Kind of basically rolled out of the hotel bed and came to the ballpark on Friday without any previous work in Lewiston, and came on and had a fantastic, fantastic World Series. Did it with the glove and with the bat. Again, 6-4, the final score for that first game against Bellevue to put the Crusaders in the winner's bracket. It was a showdown with the number one ranked team in the country, the Southeastern University Fire, defending national champions and one seed in this World Series. It was a 1-0 early lead for the Fire after one half inning of play. First time to the plate, William Carey would make a little bit of noise. Patrick Lee left the yard, a two-run home run to give the Crusaders a lead that they would not relinquish.
I would imagine Patrick has the green light here. 3-0 from Adams. He does. High and deep to left field. Back goes Pagoso. That one's gonzo from Patrick Lee. 2-1. William Carey takes the early lead. A 3-0 pitch over the heart of the plate, and Patrick Lee doesn't often miss those.
I got to say, that's probably my favorite home run call I've ever heard from you. And that had no lead up to it. You know, some of these you think of, and you're like, I'm sitting on go, ready to let this one come out of my lips. Yeah. And then I think because you had just mentioned Pagoso, the center fielder, you thought of Gonzo. But that it flowed so well, and I loved it.
I felt good about that. Shout out to Josh Pagoso, center fielder for Southeastern. He gets a little shout on Crusader Talk on the home run call there. As mentioned, Jake Liss had a career day. He goes 4-for-4. 5 runs scored to set a new World Series, NAIA World Series record. 2 doubles, a solo home run late in that game, and a single also drew a walk to boot. Reached base all 5 times to the plate and scored all 5 times. Here is one of those doubles. This made it a 6-1 William Carey lead in the bottom of the 4th inning.
1-0. This is lifted high and deep to right field. Back goes Herrera at the track. It is off the top of the wall. Scoring is Ty Little. Bobby Lede will get the green light around third. Here comes the throw. It is late. William Carey has taken a 6-1 lead on the number one team in the country. Jake Lissette is all kinds of fired up at second base. Rightfully so. 6-1 William Carey.
I think Dr. Burnett was having fun next to you on that one, too.
That was one of the regrets I had about Lewiston, is that I did not have a booth camera.
Dr. Burnett, man, that would have been great.
When Dr. Burnett was in there, he was going wild up in the booth. It was a ton of fun. You heard him there on that call. He was he told me that it did not leave the yard, but, well, he was all kinds of fired up as the Crusaders really, really got rolling in the middle innings. Jake Lissette continued his fantastic day with his solo home run in the bottom of the 7th inning to make it 8-2.
The 1-1 from Pimentel to Lissette. This is hit high and deep to center field. Back goes Pagoso, way out of here. Jake Lissette has left the building. It is 8-2 Crusaders.
Now, what a great day for him.
Oh, my goodness. He was seeing beach balls And he was just a confident bat. He was confident coming into the World Series. Talking to him, we walked out onto the surface at Harris Field, and he told me he was just feeling really good. He was fired up to get started. That's the kind of ballpark that a hitter like Jake Lissette loves to play in. Again, hitter's park, the dimensions, if you weren't with us for any of those broadcasts or unaware, Harris Field, let's see if I can remember it, 335 to left field, 370 to dead center, 315 in right, 340 in right center. So it is a hitter's ballpark of the highest order.
And it's kind of an odd shape when you look at dead center, because center is not technically the deepest part. If you wanted to draw a line from home plate through second base to center, you have to go just a little further to left field
it's kinda
to get
angled
to the deepest part. Yeah, yeah. Just a little angle about where the camera well was out there for the outfield. But that's about where Jake left the yard, to the deepest part of the park.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And left no room for doubt on that one either.
No. He was sitting on it, and he turned it out of the building. Again, that gave William Carey an 8-2 win. It was a 13-4 final. Here is how the final out sounded.
This is laced into left field. R.J. Stinson gives chase, reaching up, and he makes the grab on the warning track. A.J. Stinson, a shining performance. William Carey, unintimidated, undeterred, and undefeated in the NAIA College World Series. They move on to the winner's bracket tomorrow against Westmont College. 13-4, Crusaders win.
And, you know, we've given props to Andrew Shira in that first game against Bellevue. One thing we haven't really talked about are the numbers and the sheer athleticism shown by A.J. Stinson in that second game.
Oh, boy.
I mean, when you start looking at what his pitch count was toward the sixth inning, we'll say, and you say, okay, well, he can at least go one more. You know, he's around 100 pitches right now. He can go one more. Well, then all of a sudden he has a very short seventh inning. Like, I believe it was single digits in pitches thrown. And then the eighth inning, also pretty small. And we look back at what he was able to do against Ave Maria. I think it was Ave Maria. But anyway, yeah, pitching 140-plus pitches, and then comes back against Southeastern and throws a complete game, 156-pitch outing with six strikeouts, and gives up four runs en route to a 13-4 victory, which when you saw how far up the Crusaders were, it was 13-2 going into the ninth. You knew that if A.J. Stinson didn't ask to be let out of the game, he was going to stay into the game, or stay in the game.
Yeah.
Because that's just who he is. He's probably the fittest player on William Carey's team, the guy that puts the most work in.
He threw, 2 weeks ago, threw 150-plus pitches.
Yeah, it was something close to that.
140-plus, something like that. I mean, and had people come up to me after that game, after he threw all those pitches, and I said, you know, it's so crazy how he, you know, how in the world did he throw that many pitches and still had great stuff.
Because he throws, low to mid-90s.
Well, yes, and he was still up to 92, 93 in that ninth inning. I told him, well, look, this is just another day at the ballpark for A.J. Stinson. He has done it before, but I'm not sure he has done it in a way as special and, you know, just all things considered against the best offense in the country in Southeastern, and he made him look pretty pedestrian. So a 13-4 win for William Carey to go 2-0 to start the World Series, and things would go cold a little bit for William Carey the rest of the way. They would lose 7-3 to Westmont, who were your eventual national champions in 2023, and then 15-6 to Lewis Clark State College in the final game there. R.J. Stinson, an RBI triple in the top of the second inning early in that game against Westmont to give the Crusaders an early 3-0 lead. Let's take a listen.
Here's a 2-0 to R.J. Stinson. He lifts it down the right field line, dropping quickly. Will it stay fair? Yes, it will. All the way into the corner around third. Chris Jones will score. Ty Little being sent. Here's the throw from Rink to second baseman. He goes to third. Two-run score on an R.J. Stinson triple. The Crusaders take the early 2-0 lead.
Yeah, and for William Carey, just looking back at that, they had their opportunities. Of course, Westmont tied it in the fourth, and the Crusaders just went cold after that second inning. Three runs there. And then when you thought the starter for Westmont got rattled, Oseguera, he just all of a sudden shook it completely off and found his rhythm. And then by the time Artiga came in at the end, you and I text about it after the game. when you saw that reliever come in, you knew for how much the Crusaders had left batting. They weren't going to get to see him twice with how well he was throwing. He had four pitches he threw right in a row, I believe, to the very first batter, and all of them were on. And when you see a guy come out like that, you know that your day is not going to be very great anymore.
Yeah, both of those guys that Westmont threw in the World Series last year, that's where that World Series and veteran experience really started to shine through. One more highlight to share with you, Bobby Ladei, down 6-3 early in that ball game. William Carey got a big swing out of their
against
shortstop.
Against Lewis Clark State, right?
Against in the final game, yes. If I did not clarify there, against Lewis Clark State to make it 6-6.
First pitch to Bobby Ladei. This is hammered to center field. Back goes Carter Booth. He's going to watch it fly out of the ballpark. William Carey has tied this ball game. Bobby Ladei has left the building. 6-6 here in the top of the fourth. Bye-bye, Bobby.
Those will be the final runs scored for William Carey in 2023. We'll take a look back at all of the myriad records set by the William Carey offense and a couple more things to wrap up. Our final segment coming up right after this. This is Crusader Talk.
Listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Tying a neat black and red bow on this edition of Crusader Talk. My name is Ben Milam here with my partner Caleb Hamill and our producer engineer Michael Mergens. Whole lot of things you can do with a Monday night. Glad you're spending part of it with us. Couple other things to talk about as we look back on the World Series run for the Crusaders, their fourth appearance of the World Series in program history. Bobby Hallford gets his 1,300th win. William Carey finishes 49-11. It was the first appearance for the program since 2017. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's not going to be 6 years for the Crusaders to return to Lewiston-Idaho. We'll touch briefly on what comes back for the Crusaders. A small hint, it is most of the roster. Obviously, you lose some important pieces that were a part of, Caleb, you've got a stack of records over there. Offensively, I mean, just about every statistical category, it was a historic year for the Crusaders.
It was, especially on the hitting side. You know, not really anything to write home about as far as pitching records to say, but that does not take anything away from what William Carey was able to do on the pitching side. Well, I mean, really found their groove toward the end with that rotation.
Yeah, we had talked about, I don't think it was on the air, early in the year, that was the question mark
a little bit
was both starting pitching and bullpen-wise, and you had guys like Andrew Shira, who the coaching staff expected it, but you know, you needed a guy like Andrew Shira to kind of show up and be a consistent starter, and he just, you know, casually goes and gets the SSAC Pitcher of the Year award, and rightfully deserved. And then A.J. Stinson returns from injury and is fantastic, and you really piece things together. Dario Herrera becomes a huge piece of your rotation. You get some big bullpen arms as well to come through. So
yeah, finished the year undefeated, by the way, did Dario Herrera.
That's right.
So I guess that would tie a record for the best winning percentage for a starting pitcher.
There you go.
If he doesn't own that by himself. I actually didn't even think about looking up that one. But a lot of single-season hitting records for William Carey, and I may not have even gotten them all. But here we go. Most at-bats, 2,089 total at-bats. Only beat the 2017 team by 19, and they played five more games than this William Carey team in 2023. Most runs, most hits, most doubles, most triples, most home runs. They ran the table, got the grand slam there. 86 home runs for William Carey, more than the 78 scored by the 1978 team. Most RBIs, of course, I think with all those hitting records broken, you were going to expect that one. Most runs scored. Let's see what else. Most walks, that was something that they blew out of the water. they had 73 more home runs than the next best team, which was 2017, with 371. And for William Carey, that was something that they were pretty well top-ranked in the nation in walk, not the top spot, I don't believe, but
led the country in walks, unless that changed late in the World Series.
But, okay, so yeah. They did lead at one point,
yeah,
at least. So with that, yeah, they blew that one out of the water. They also were hit by the most pitches out of any previous Crusader team by 199, and that was one more than the 2018 team. And then as far as individual records, R.J. Stinson broke a record for the most runs scored by a Crusader with 95. Edging out Tyler James on that 2017 team. Most hits with 105 over Perry Miley on the 98 squad. Jake Lissette got so close to breaking the single-season walks record. He finished one behind Tyler James, who had 53 in 2017. So Lissette had 52. Yep. If we just had one better umpire in one of those games, we probably would have had at least a share of that one for this 2017 team. Did not break a career hits record. At least so far for R.J. Stinson. He's got 171. The record is 177 from Rodney Williams, who played from 84 to 87. And Stinson, is he one of those that has that fifth year and will likely come back?
Yeah, R.J.'s back.
Yeah. So R.J.'s back. So he only has to get six RBIs, and he's tied that record. He is going to set all kinds of career hitting records if he stays healthy. Yeah. In the 2024 season. So a lot of records broken there, and I probably didn't even get all of them.
Yeah, probably not, to be honest. It's a long list, and I want to quickly go back to that runs record. He had 652 on the season. That ended up being just narrowly behind Georgia Gwinnett for second in the country this year. That broke the record of the 2017 team. It was obviously a pretty good ball club. There are a lot of records that were broken of that 2017 team this year, but 510, so 142 more runs scored than that 2017 team.
It really speaks to the top of that lineup for William Carey this year, with Stinson, Lee / Lede, depending on what time of the year it was, and then Lissette. All of those guys constantly helping one another out, which helped RJ achieve that runs scored stat and record.
Yeah.
Just an all-around great performance. RJ got SSAC honors as the Male Scholar Athlete of the Year. That's across all athletic squads. I mean, that's not just limited to baseball. That is an entirety. He posted a 4.0 GPA in his junior year. And so he was also the SSAC Player of the Year.
Yeah.
And one hour for us, I don't think is enough to even come close to talking through all these accomplishments.
No, so, it was not.
Next week, we're going to break down a whole lot of the different seasons that William Carey had athletically.
A lot of success.
Put a big bow on 2023.
Yeah. Caleb will have the reins next week. We certainly hope to have you back with us next Monday at 7 o'clock. This has been Crusader Talk. My name is Ben Milam. That is Caleb Hamill. Michael Mergens, our producer engineer. Until next time, go Saters and good night.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.